morning and welcome to the International Connection. It's 9:33 on a Sunday morning, and this is the second week into a lengthy radio series about mind control in Canada. We heard last week part one of a lecture by Dr. Colin Ross. This week we'll hear part two of that three-part lecture. Dr. Ross is a Canadian psychiatrist working with survivors of dissociative identity disorder. He has also researched and documented the CIA's history of mind control experimentation. Everything in this lecture he has proven through the CIA's own documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. Once again, here is Dr. Colin Ross on CKLN.
Loretta Bender describes giving 150 micrograms of LSD per day to children aged 7 to 11 years of age for days, weeks, months, and in some cases even years in a row. And this is discussed at a CIA-sponsored symposium on LSD. This would not get through an ethics committee. Paul Hawk, anybody ever heard of a disorder called borderline personality disorder? Hawk and Politan, 1949, Psychiatric Quarterly. Pseudoneurotic forms of schizophrenia. These people are on the borderline between psychosis and neurosis and schizophrenia. We call it pseudoneurotic schizophrenia because they're on the borderline. It's one of the reasons why the word borderline caught on. Well, he did hallucinogen research in New York for the military and had one unfortunate complication and side effect. He killed Harold Blauer, a tennis pro, in 1953 with an injection of army mescaline. And the family was eventually compensated for that. And he's a big time connected into all of the hallucinogen research by the military and the CIA, and is at many different CIA-sponsored conferences. Ewan Cameron, former head of the Quebec Psychiatric Association, the Canadian Psychiatric Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the World Psychiatric Association, in fact, the founder of the World Psychiatric Association, and also one time president of the Society for Biological Psychiatry. As politically connected a guy as ever existed in the entire field of psychiatry in the 20th century, with his obituary in the American Journal of Psychiatry, funded through MKUltra and the Human Ecology Foundation, did LSD and other hallucinogen research funded by Canadian military and the CIA, and was successfully sued. He had already died. The CIA was settled out of court, actually. It wasn't a successful suit, technically, with eight of his patients who had been victims of experimentation that was first funded directly by the CIA through the Human Ecology and then by the Canadian government. When one of his subjects is called, one of his papers published in the American Journal of Psychiatry is on psychic driving. Another is on production of differential amnesia in schizophrenia. I interviewed a woman named Linda McDonald, who's identified in public. This is not a problem with violation of her confidentiality. And I have release from her to talk about her and write about her. She was 25 years old when she went to McGill to be treated for a relatively mild postpartum depression. She turned 26 during her hospitalization from March, which was from sometime in March to early September 1963. During the course of her hospitalization, she received 102 ECT treatments using the Page-Russell technique, in which the button is pushed six times per treatment instead of one. She also received about 80 days of barbiturate and neuroleptic-induced sleep. During the course of the hospitalization, now I don't have just her testimony, I have the actual medical record with all of the nursing notes documenting this and Ewan Cameron's signature in the chart. So this is not rumor or patient distortion, this is the actual medical record, and this is work that's been settled out of court by the CIA. She comes in as a normal, somewhat depressed person who, on my interview, I would say she probably had DDNOS before she was admitted. She gets regressed back to incontinent of urine, incontinent of feces, totally disoriented, unable to state her own name, the year, where she is, recognize her children, recognize her husband. She gradually comes out of this. At the time of discharge, she's sent home to live with her husband and children, resume normal sexual relations with her husband. She doesn't know how to drive a car, read, cook, use a toilet. Not only does she not know exactly what sex is all about, and she's not exactly sure who her husband is. She doesn't know what the concept of a husband is. So she neuropsychologically pulls out of this over months, and several months down the road, she's at the point where the full-time homemaker has taught her how to scramble eggs. She was a fully competent housewife and mother before this. When her children go out to play on the street, she's unable to remember 30 seconds later where they are. So she puts a map of the neighborhood up on the wall and puts pins in the map to keep track of where her kids are playing. Otherwise, she goes into a panic and doesn't know what's going on. By about a year, she appears to have made a full neuropsychological recovery. And when I interview her several years ago in Vancouver, she appears to be neuropsychologically intact and to be suffering from no active psychiatric disorder. The problem is that she can't remember anything from the time she left the hospital back to birth. So this is CIA and Canadian military funded research to totally wipe out somebody's memory, which is very successful. In the published articles on psychic driving and creation of differential amnesia in schizophrenia, the claim is that if you have somebody who's been delusional for the last 5 years and you give them this, quotes, regressive ECT, regress them down to total infantile incompetence, and bring them back up, and while you do that, you play a lot of tape loops, so they listen to these looped statements over and over and over and over and over, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times a day, that they will come back to their normal waking state, and they will have specific amnesia for the time during which they've been delusional and for the delusional material, and their schizophrenia will then be cured. So this is very careful, deliberate research to produce specific amnesias and total global amnesia. So we would certainly want to honor that man in the American Journal of Psychiatry. So this is how the funding was set up. Okay, let's look at the network for both the creation of Manchurian candidates and the denial of the existence of Manchurian candidates. How is that structured? Because you would think it might be logical to have a disinformation program in place. It's a little, I think we can, Nancy, are you going to be the adjuster on the focus again there? It's a little drift on the focus there. It's always hard to tell from the front. Okay. Now, like any complex system, it's sort of arbitrary where you enter the system. But let's enter at MK Ultra, which we saw is connected to the Bluebird and Artichoke. Both of those are connected to the CIA. The CIA is highly connected to military intelligence, structurally, committee cross-references, and cooperation in many of these documented mind control research projects. Okay, so in the Senate committee hearings in the 1970s about MKUltra, John Gittinger, who was the head PhD psychologist in MKUltra, testified that the creation of Manchurian candidates and the movie The Manchurian Candidate, which he referred to in his testimony, were just fiction. That's ridiculous, and that had never been done. But we see that MKUltra, on which he was the lead psychologist, was actually the administrative rollover from Bluebird and Artichoke, and we've just read material in which they explicitly are describing clear creation of Manchurian candidates, so it's not possible that he didn't know that. So the options here are either he was so out of it that he didn't realize that that was Manchurian candidates that were being created there, or he was somehow administratively out of the loop and never even looked at the Bluebird and Artichoke documents, which is fairly unbelievable, or it's deliberate disinformation. Well, let's go from the CIA up here to military intelligence over to Estabrooks. Okay, we've got Estabrooks actually creating Manchurian candidates. So that's Manchurian candidate creation, which goes back to Bluebird and Artichoke. So we've got that loop already discussed. Let's hop from CIA to Martin Orne. Well, we saw in the original list of MKUltra consultants that Martin Orne was funded through that and had top secret clearance. When you look at Martin Orne's CV, he lists in his CV numerous military intelligence funding sources, virtually all branches of the military, and he, in his publications, cites funding by Air Force, Army, I'm pretty sure, Office of Naval Research, etc., and Human Ecology. He also reliable source informed me that he also consulted the National Security Agency. So he basically consulted with all branches of the military, intelligence and civilian intelligence network. He also has taken the position since at least 1984 in public that multiple personality disorder is almost all the time a iatrogenic artifact. And he's debated this vociferously at the APA annual meetings from 1988 on, and has published a lot of discussion and commentary on this in the International Journal of Clinical Experimental Hypnosis. So his basic position is that MPD is created by the therapist. Now, why would he think this and believe this, given that he's totally connected into military intelligence? He's one of the leading experts in hypnosis. He's a friend of, correspondent of, he's edited by, and he references G.A. Chesterbrooks, who is also one of the leading hypnosis experts at the same time, also is tightly tied into military intelligence. And Chesterbrooks knows those other people like Milton Erickson and Hilgard, who are all totally interconnected by their common work and references. Well, Martin Orne might believe that all these civilian DID cases are actually iatrogenic DID because that's the universe he's grown up in. He can't step outside his own knowledge of the creation of Manchurian candidates by the military to conceive of the idea that it might arise naturalistically. So it's basically projection or lack of intellect. It's unlikely to be lack of intellect because Martin Orne does not lack intellect. The fact that he was too dumb to get it is totally implausible because he's a very bright guy. So that explanation we can rule out. And the other explanation is deliberate disinformation. There's no way to discriminate between those hypotheses or test them with the available data. Okay, so Martin Orne says that DID is iatrogenic. Oh, what's this thing over here? FMSF, False Memory Syndrome Foundation. Well, isn't this funny? Martin Orne is on the scientific advisory board of the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, and the False Memory Syndrome Foundation clearly promotes the idea that DID is either almost entirely or 100% entirely an iatrogenic artifact. Where does that take us down to? Oh, that takes us to Manchurian candidate denial. Okay, that's done specifically by Richard Offshee, who is a scientific advisory board member of the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, in his book Making Monsters, where he ridicules me as a CIA conspiracy nut who believes that the CIA has been creating multiple personality disorder, which in fact is a documented fact. Let's skip back to here. We're at the CIA and we're at MKUltra. We're missing another connection here. We should go MKUltra to Jolly West, but CIA connects to Jolly West because he was funded under MKUltra to study the psychobiology of dissociation. He will probably go down in history for being the only person to kill an elephant at Oklahoma City Zoo with LSD. Well, Jolly West is going to show up on a bunch of subsequent slides. So what we're looking at is two-dimensional slices of a three- or n-dimensional space. So you're going to see Jolly West connects out to here and off the screen and up and down and around the back of the screen and so on. One place that he connects is here to here. Now, where did he start off in his professional career? He started off as a top-secret cleared guy for the Air Force who interviewed the American pilots who came back from North Korea having been captured and brainwashed by the communist Chinese. These were people who were real good Americans who were flying jets, who got shot down by the communist enemy, who went to prison as POWs and came back as communists. Have we ever heard of anything like this before in our lives? This is the creation of a new identity and suppression of the old identity and all its allegiances through mind control, coercive persuasion techniques. These American pilots were Manchurian candidates of a sort without full amnesia for their previous identity. So they were kind of a DDNOS level Manchurian candidate as opposed to a full DID level Manchurian candidate. And he was one of the guys who interrogated them, understood them, wrote about them, and wrote about how to arm future military personnel against such interrogation. Robert Lifton also had top secret clearance from the Air Force to interview these downed American pilots. And there's several other people in the group there, including Margaret Singer, who wrote the book Cults in Our Midst, which I talked about as the foundation for the iatrogenic pathway to DID. She had top secret clearance to interview these pilots as well. Margaret Singer publishes with Jolly West, and Margaret Singer publishes with Richard Offshey, who is an expert on coercive mind control and cult persuasion techniques. So that's real funny. Okay, let's go to military intelligence, over to False Memory Syndrome Foundation. Who's that guy? Oh, what's that say there? Oh, it says Paul McHugh. Who's Paul McHugh? He's the guy who says that, who's chairman of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins, who says that 100% of cases of DID are iatrogenic, and says that all the dissociative disorders units should be shut down. And he's on the advisory board of the False Memory Syndrome Foundation. He connects the DID as iatrogenic. He connects to Johns Hopkins because he's the chairman of the Department of Psychiatry there. He connects over to Walter Reed Hospital because when he was in the military, he did research at Walter Reed Hospital that's listed in his CV, which is a major site for military intelligence work and is directly connected into the mind control network. Now, why do I have Johns Hopkins connected to MKUltra? Because a prior chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins named James Whitehorn was on the advisory board of the Human Ecology Foundation. They had top secret clearance and was witting that the Human Ecology Foundation was actually a funding front for MKUltra. So one of his immediate predecessors was directly in network with top secret clearance. So again, we have, now the research in his CV, I haven't actually gotten the papers out and read it, that he did in the military doesn't look like mind control research. But then the whole question becomes, what are the hypotheses to account for his behavior? Here we have apparently a relatively bright guy who's head of department in one of the leading medical schools in the world who just doesn't get it. He thinks that all DID is iatrogenic. Is this because he's not smart enough? Doesn't seem to be a plausible explanation. Well, is it because of some sort of peculiarity of his personal experience in his psychology that we don't know about? Maybe. Maybe it's disinformation. No way to know, no way to prove it one way or another. But this is the network for the creation and the denial of Manchurian candidates. It's a very funny little network. Okay, let's take a look, since we're all into False Memory Syndrome Foundation here, let's take a look at the relations between the Cult Awareness Network and the False Memory Syndrome Foundation Scientific Advisory Board. This is going to start taking us out beyond Oliver Stone. Oliver Stone will say, now this is too much, I'm not making a movie about this. There's still hope that we could land at the X-Files, though. Okay, so CAN means the Cult Awareness Network, CIA means the Central Intelligence Agency, and FMS means the False Memory Syndrome Foundation. Jolly West is on the board of CAN, and the False Memory Syndrome Foundation is connected to the CIA. Margaret Singer is connected to Jolly West and Richard Offshey. Margaret Singer and Jolly West are on the board of CAN, and Richard Offshey is on the board of FMSF. Jolly West and Margaret Singer work for Air Force Intelligence, talking to those Korean down pilots who are actually DDNOS level Manchurian candidates. Leo Ryan, we're going to hear a bunch about Jonestown in a minute. Leo Ryan is the congressman who was killed at the airport in Jonestown at the same time as the mass suicide there, which was not actually a suicide. His daughter, Patricia Ryan, is very active in the Cult Awareness Network and recently received the Leo Ryan Award. So Leo Ryan connects to Jonestown. Jonestown connects up to the CIA through that loop because the CAN is interested in destructive cults and coercive persuasion. And I'm going to show you in subsequent slides the connections between Jonestown and the CIA. Jonestown connects down to, obviously, expertise in cult coercive persuasion techniques. Jim Jones was a big expert. That takes us back up to Jolly West, Margaret Singer, Richard Offshey, Air Force Intelligence, the CIA. So all this thing all interconnects here. So who's this guy, Robert Heath? Well, we're going to see him in a future slide, too. My secretary's actually interviewed him, and I might go down and interview him in person myself at Tulane in New Orleans. He did brain electrode implant research for the CIA, and so he would put brain electrodes in human brains for non-therapeutic purposes, and then he would pour in psilocybin, mescaline, LSD, and other chemicals to see what would go tingle-tingle in the electrodes. And I'll tell you more about that. So he's funded by the CIA and the military. In one of his papers, one of his subjects, he thanks Harold Leaf for referring in one of his brain electrode implant research subjects. Harold Leaf is on the advisory board of the False Memory Syndrome Foundation and, in fact, was personal psychiatrist to the Fried family. And all these guys know each other. I'm just giving you kind of a sketch of how this thing is constructed. Okay, so let's now take the step beyond Oliver Stone. This is the connections between Jonestown and the CIA. This is based on references that are in, I think it's the next slide, if I remember right. Okay, the center here is we're talking about the CIA with its interest in mind control. Now, according to this book, which is entitled Was Jonestown a CIA Medical Experiment by Michael Myers, if, according to him, Jonestown was a CIA medical experiment. It was a mind control research site. So that seems preposterous and impossible to believe. What data and circumstantial evidence add up to that conclusion? Well, we know that Leo Ryan was connected to the CIA. How do we know that? Well, let's take a look over here in our package. We'll go back a few pages back from Hypnosis Comes of Age article. And here we have a letter from the Deputy Director of the Central Intelligence Agency dated 18th October 1978. Honorable Leo Ryan, House of Representatives, Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. Ryan, thank you for your letter of 27 September to Admiral Turner requesting confirmation or denial of the fact of CIA experiments using prisoners at the California Medical Facility at Vacaville. MK Search Site Principal Investigator James Hamilton. It is true that CIA sponsored, that's coming from me for somebody listening to the tape, not from the letter. It is true that CIA-sponsored testing using volunteer inmates was conducted at that facility. The project was completed in 1968. A report setting forth the details of that testing has been released to the authorities at Vacaville and to the public. It is enclosed for your information and review. Your letter, the research, it says at the end of the paragraph, was related to learning enhancement using a well-known non-hallucinogen, magnesium pemoline, or pemoline, which is Silert, which is used for ADD. Your letter referred to Donald DeFreeze, known as Sank, and Clifford Jefferson, both of whom were inmates at Vacaville. Insofar as our reports reflect the names of the participants, there is nothing to indicate that either was in any way involved in the project. You may wish to contact the authorities at Vacaville for further information. So Leo Ryan was corresponding directly with the CIA about some of its mind control research. He was also the father of pending legislation by which all CIA covert operations would be subject to direct congressional oversight from a budgetary point of view. I haven't got Charles Manson connected in. You got to go a long way out there to get all these connections. Is Charles Manson in Vacaville? Oh, I didn't know that's where he was. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you a bunch about Vacaville, so it's not surprising that he's at Vacaville. So Leo Ryan is really pestering the CIA to get all their covert operations under direct funding oversight and budgetary control of Congress. He is bugging the CIA about their mind control research. He's found out that Donald DeFreeze was at Vacaville at the same time as it was a research site. We've seen in other documentation that that's MK Search, and the investigator is James Hamilton, who had top secret clearance. Also, Leo Ryan was involved in Jonestown because he was killed at the airport. Well, that's very funny. How does Leo Ryan connect down to Patty Hearst? Patty Hearst was captured by the Symbionese Liberation Army, which was headed by Donald DeFreeze, whose code name was Sank. She was found guilty. She was actually a Manchurian candidate, a DDNOS level Manchurian candidate, who was captured. If you don't remember the story, she's the son of William Randolph Hearst, who ran the San Francisco Chronicle, that was running a whole lot of very critical articles about the People's Temple, Jim Jones's cult, while it was still in Ukiah. His daughter, Patty Hearst, was a college student who was captured by the Symbionese Liberation Army at gunpoint with submachine guns, kept locked in a closet for 42 days, and subjected to very systematic coercive persuasion, brainwashing, and mind control techniques until she adopted a new identity named Tanya and lost all of her emotional connectedness to her prior life and her parents. Participated in the robbery of a bank and was found guilty. The Free Patty Hearst movement was headed by Leo Ryan. He was very active in getting clemency for her from the president. Okay, so Patty Hearst, how does she connect to Donald DeFries? Well, he captured her. How does Donald DeFries connect to Vacaville? Well, he was at Vacaville as a prisoner. What is Vacaville? Well, let's hop over here to Jolly West. That'll help us to figure out. Oh, yeah, Jolly West. Well, he was the expert witness in the trial for Patty Hearst. Who are the expert witnesses called to explain to the jury that Patty Hearst was, in fact, the victim of coercive persuasion, mind control, and brainwashing? Patty Hearst, Margaret Singer, Patty Hearst was the defendant, Jolly West, Margaret Singer, Robert Lifton, and Martin Orne. So what did Jolly West have to do with Vacaville? Well, Jolly West was head of the UCLA Violence Project, which was approved by Ronald Reagan when he was governor of California, and then shut down by public protest that was spearheaded by a number of people, including some people very interested in CIA military mind control history, have written books about it. Well, the UCLA Violence Project, you're going to see in subsequent slides, but it included research and experimentation that was going to be done at Vacaville Prison, where they had the Maxi, which is the maximum security place for the most freaked out, behaviorally disturbed, psychotic, psychologically difficult inmates in the California prison system, which included Donald DeFries and Charles Manson, we hear. Well, okay, Donald DeFries, who's Colston Westbrook? Okay, according to a book on the Phoenix Program, which was the CIA's covert operation in the Vietnam War for killing 20 VC infrastructure non-military personnel, headed by William Colby, future director of the Central Intelligence Agency. According to that book, Colston Westbrook was a CIA Psy War expert in Vietnam who came back to the United States, to Vacaville Prison, under cover of the Black Cultural Association, and used behavior modification techniques on Donald DeFries and gave him his codename Sank and devised the seven-headed logo of the Symbionese Liberation Army. Subsequent to this coercive persuasion work done on Donald DeFries by this Psy War expert employed by the CIA in Vietnam, Donald DeFries was transferred to another location in the jail from which he very easily escaped the next day, only to go capture Patty Hearst and use very systematic and sophisticated mind control techniques on her, despite the fact that he was a functionally illiterate black person off the streets. And then two paperbacks, which are published by Avon Books, both of which are owned by the Hearst Corporation. Douglas Valentine, 1990, The Phoenix Program, New York, Avon Books, and the specific reference is page 337. Patty Hearst, 1982, the title of the book is Patty Hearst, Her Own Story, New York, Avon Books, pages 133 and 134.